a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going
to
call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time
for... Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Well. This is live. It's, what is it? It's the 16th of May 2011, coming to you from Stronghold Radio. I am Dutch Jones, your humble host. In a overcast sky, unseasonable, what's the word here? Now, this is going to be a good show. I'm already screwing up words in the intro. It's weird. It's like 50 degrees here right now. Normally, it's 90 degrees this time of year here at the Stronghold in Cahuilla, California, and I want to thank you all for tuning in. I was just on the phone with somebody in Alaska, and they said that it's 60 degrees there, too, and hasn't been 60 degrees since last August 15th. So weather's weird everywhere. I guess it's all that global warming. It's just makes it more interesting for me. The rivers are high. The reservoirs are full. There's still snow coming down in the mountains around us. It snowed up here yesterday. We can see fresh snow on the peaks. And I don't know. It's a beautiful place to be. Everything's greener, longer than normal. And all this extra precipitation means money for me and Lou to weed eat. And that's what we've been doing. We've been weed eating. And that's how we make money. You guys see weeds. I see FRNs growing up under the ground. I wish I saw gold, but I just see FRNs. We tried to go gold panning Saturday, and I promised to tell you what would happen, and it wasn't good. We didn't even get to the site. We get about 8 miles up the road to the top of the hill. We get up to about 6,000, about 5,000 feet. We were almost there, and I started smelling radiator fluid, so I told Stace to pull over because I make her do all the scary driving. So I can look for squirrels and things. And the top of the radiator had developed a pinhole leak in it in our little Toyota RAV4 and was spraying radiator fluid everywhere. So we stopped, let it cool, pulled a Red Dawn, made Lou pee in the radiator. And, of course, I didn't have my – I did have my kit with me, but I knew we were downhill all the way. So we filled it up with the water that we brought. We had some extra water. We actually had antifreeze in the vehicle. And I said, well, here we go. So we put it in, and I drove downhill, and we basically just coasted, except the places that we had to get up over some rises. So we made it back here. So our Saturday, I wouldn't say it was ruined. It was a great training exercise. But here's some tips for you. Well, maybe I'll go into that later. But we didn't get to go gold panning. We're going to try it again. This week we're too busy getting ready for the Larry Wick training. Our numbers are now like 23 students coming. And we're really excited about that. And, of course, we ask for your prayers for traveling mercies for all those that are coming from out of town, especially for the instructors that have to fly and those that have to drive on the highways and run into the pavement bandits known as the Highway Patrol and Sheriff's Department, all that are going to try and steal their money before they get here. So we'll be needing to pray for those folks. I'd like to welcome everyone who came in. Welcome to our pod people if you're not listening to this live. We do have a cell phone number that you can call in, although fewer and fewer people are using. It's not really a call-in show. The phone works great for our guest hosts and things like that, but you can call in at 559-346-8362. 559-346-8362. That's what's happening here. I got some news articles, but first I'll continue on with our little radiator thing. Something that I learned as a kid, and I don't know where my dad learned it from, but just regular pepper. We put about 2 tablespoons of pepper in the radiator, and it filled the hole, and it's not leaking right now. I assume that it's, every time I've used pepper before, I've always had the ability to go and buy just another radiator or take it in, but these plastic pieces of garbage that are in these new cars, I can't fix it. I mean, I'm thinking I could go get some epoxy or something and maybe do that, but we're going to have to, if we decide to keep this vehicle, I'll talk about a prayer request later. We're going to have to fix it, get a new radiator. But 2 tablespoons of pepper in there after it cooled and then started up, it fixed it right away. I remember my father plugging radiators with soap and pepper. So make sure in your little vehicle kit you keep a big old tin of pepper in there. It works really well along with liquids that you can run your car on. We do a 50-50 of antifreeze that we keep in there. I don't like to put just water in because if you forget to do anything about it, you'll end up rusting everything out. And plus, it'll freeze or it'll overheat. It's not designed. New cars are not designed to run on water, period. They have to have a coolant system in there, glycerol, lubricant, and all kinds of things like that that I don't know much about. I've just read people and talk to people that know what they're talking about, and that's why you want to use the antifreeze coolant products, because it's not just an antifreeze, it's a temperature controlling liquid, and to lubricate that water pump and other things that are in there, you can't just use water. It runs down the system and makes it bail out. Now all of our vehicles except for one are like 300,000 or plus. We've got an older car that's like 65,000 miles. We haven't even tried to start that yet because we don't have any gas in it. But another thing I noticed, we had just filled the RAV4 up with gas, like $3,000 worth of gasoline, I think is what it was, for 14 gallons of gas. And so we're like, okay, great, well, let's get the gas out of the car with the bad radiator, put it into one of the other vehicles, and we can go get the part. We stuck a hose down there, couldn't get into the tank. So we tried a smaller hose with a siphon, couldn't get in. It has an anti-theft device, so we can't siphon fuel out of it. So we got this car sitting over there we can't really drive, even though it's technically fixed now. With the pepper, but I don't want to put a lot of pressure on it, and so we can't siphon the fuel. Something to remember. So I got underneath the car and I looked at it, and where the filler tube goes into, it has a section that's you can take off. That's a rubber hose. So I'm going to remove that probably this week and see if I can get the fuel out of it. Because I'll be danged if I'm going to let fuel just evaporate in that tank when I've got one car, even if it's an older car, that can be fed and we can get around and do what we need to do. Now, our second car, which you guys, if you've been listening to the show, you know we've had a love-hate relationship with our Toyota 4Runner. We got 2 Toyotas, a Suzuki, and a... What is the other one? Giving out more intel than I should. But what's your car? A Cougar? Mercury Cougar? And the 4Runner, I mean, it's like... We took it to the shop this morning, and the guy was like, oh, my gosh, what's wrong with your car? The check engine light came on, stopped running. The brakes were fixed. Amen. We got brakes on it. He thinks the catalytic converter's full, the alternator's messing up, the airflow regulator's bad, just all this stuff. And it's just, we need your prayers, folks. It's just, it's insane. And it's funny, I talked to Steve Klein today. He's like, welcome to the real world. He goes, I got 3 vehicles. If I keep one of them running, I'm happy. It's always been that way, hasn't it? And it seems now more than ever, especially since my stroke, we just seem to be having mechanical and interpersonal problems with other people. It gets to the point where I just want to take my family and go become a hermit, but I'm called to do this. It's really hard. I want you guys to know that. I really appreciate those of you that tune in every day and send me comments and interact with me throughout the day when you find cool stuff. Because if it wasn't for you guys, the rest of you listening to this, the thousands of other fans that don't participate and don't donate and things like that, if it weren't for this core of 10 to 15 people, I don't think there'd be a radio show anymore. Because I'm doing it for these folks that are in the chat room, the pod people that send me emails, the people that donate. IC Freedom sent in a pretty hefty money order that went straight to the church because we were running out of money at the church. We can barely cover the costs of the church, much less these ministries. But anyway, that's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm saying is that if it wasn't for you hardcore listeners, supporters, friends, my cyber friends, I'm not talking about the Facebook thing. Listening in and giving your input and making the show what it is, I wouldn't do this show anymore. So you guys should be thankful to this group of 15 or so that maintain my sanity by encouraging me to keep doing it. So, yeah, we've got the car problems. It's kind of interesting. I mean, technically, if we had to bug out right now, we'd have to do it on foot, which wouldn't be that fun. I guess I could get a horse or something around here, but I hate horses. It's just... I look at horses and I think lunch. I don't think transportation.
I
also think they're trying to kill me, but there's a couple mules and burros up here. I'd much rather have one of those, and that's only because I haven't been around them. People who work with mules and donkeys and things like that say, well, wait till you get to know them, then maybe you'll change your mind. But some guys just love the mules. I like to use them. I think it would be great. to have more mules, but this cart thing is just ridiculous. We don't have any bicycles. We need to get bicycles. We need to do stuff. It's just every one of us. You think because I do this show, I got everything squared away? I don't. Every day is a constant battle, trying to maintain a flow of funds to feed everybody, a flow to keep the funds to keep the electricity on, fuel, so we can interact with my lovely daughter, our daughter Anthea, who was here. And even with all the problems, we had a great time. And we're looking forward to school being out so that she can come and spend this, you know, several chunks of the summer here with us. We'll see how that goes. Although it doesn't look like we're going to have summer weather anytime soon, does it, Stace? What's the weather supposed to be for the class? For
it's
those
supposed to be nice.
Supposed to be nice next weekend?
Thursday.
After Thursday. A lot of people are coming camping, folks. And don't assume that just because it's May in Central California, it's going to be desert-like conditions. It's supposed to be raining right now.
It's
dark out, so we'll see what happens. It's been raining off and on, which is good because then we don't have to water our fruit trees and stuff like that. You know, everything's staying healthy, and hopefully we'll get gigantic oranges and lemons and things this year. So, you're waiting on your trees? Yes. So the lessons learned this weekend, make sure you have a lot of pepper. Make sure you carry some kind of coolant and temperature control liquid for your radiator. Check everything. I mean, we were just going 8 miles. I mean, there's no way I could have detected a pinhole.
No, there's no way.
In it. But one thing I did find is that we had had a thermostat put in last fall, last October,
yeah,
I think it was.
I think it was
and one of the hoses hadn't been properly put back on. And I found a hose that was ready to pop off. That would have been catastrophic. It would have just sprayed antifreeze all over the motor. But that I found while I was in there. It's been a while since I've been on my back under a vehicle. It's just, I used to enjoy it. It used to be a hobby, but now it's just, it's physically hard to do, but I got to do it. That's why we have to have the funds to pay somebody else to do it. We actually gave up on Shade Tree Mechanics. You know, God bless you guys. We've had a lot of help. Chuck out there put our alternator in when he came to visit. Chuck and the Princess Color. It was starter. Thank you. And things like that, and I appreciate that. But from now on, it's like I'd rather save up and go to a real mechanic. These new cars I can't touch. My Suzuki Samurai I can play with all day. Stacy's 1984 vehicle, I can work on that all day long. But like this 90 whatever Toyota
99
RAV, and then the 91 4Runner, it's like I look at it, and it's like there's so many hoses and wires under the hood.
Yeah.
You know, because people are saying, oh, you probably got a vacuum leak. You need to jiggle this and check that. And I'm like, I don't even know what those parts are. Yeah, he's checking everything for us. Let's see, what's this? Yeah, so the guy, you know, we're paying through the nose to have somebody check it. But you know what? The peace of mind that it gives me, because he's a local, and he's going to have to stand behind his word, because, you know, I'll go back over there the next day and go, hey, what's up with this? It pays to have a good mechanic and have your vehicles in good working order, especially now. Because we don't know what's going to happen. You know, that's the big thing. It's like the weirdness that's going on right now. The stuff I've been reading, the stuff I've been seeing, and I'll get into that now. Let me switch over to where I have all my stuff. Let's see here. Da-da-da-da. Man, it's just, I can't believe the stuff that's going on in the news. You know, you've got this IMF guy getting caught for supposedly, you know, raping a house maid in a hotel. I did some checking on him. It turns out this isn't the first time this has happened. 10 years ago, he was accused of this. He's also been accused of buggering little boys, going to Taiwan and getting little boys and things like that. Or not Taiwan, Bangkok, Thailand. And it's just, everything's just weird. And I know one guy getting caught in a hotel room doesn't have a macro effect, but it goes to the character of the guys that are in the IMF. And I don't know what he did that they turned on him, that they exposed him like this. They let him do it, and he must have made somebody mad in the New World Order, this guy, this French guy. A hardcore socialist. He was going to probably be the next president, they said, of France. So freaky stuff in the news there. Whoa, I just lost it. Where is this? Okay, now I'm going to start with the first thing that I discovered. I think it was Saturday. For some reason, remember that song from the 1980s called 19? The average age of the Vietnam soldier was 19. It was some dance, hip-hop song, you know, and it showed a bunch of videos. Well, technically that was wrong. The average age was actually 22. Well, I was showing Lou that song and playing it for him, and I think he asked us, well, what's the average age of the soldiers now? I says, well, let's look it up. So I went to the Department of Defense. I started just digging through stuff, and I found out the average age of soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq is between 22 and 24, the median being 23. There's actually a lot of guys in their 30s that are serving because it's. And I said, well, why are so many older guys serving in combat? Because what they're doing is the 17-year-olds that volunteer, they're training them. Training is longer now. But I wanted to look up the pay. So I looked up the pay, and I thought, well, let's see what they're getting paid. And, you know, and it's around $2,500 to $3,000 a month for even just an E3 when you add in their – if they got a family. If they're alone and they're living on base and they're eating, they're getting about, I think it was 18-something a month plus some other things. And they get another $225 per month. They're in combat pay. And I went, combat pay. What constitutes combat pay? So I started digging around, and I wanted to see what the definition of combat pay was. And I found this list of, in the budget that was presented for 2011 to Congress to pay the soldiers, Marines, Airmen, Navy, all those guys. And I wanted to see how many areas were considered combat zones and how much, you know, what they would be and where they would be. So I'm looking, and I got the list, and I got the list of 2011 combat zones listed by the Department of Defense, the Pentagon. And I started looking at it, and here's a big old chart here, and it starts out with Afghanistan, and alphabetically, and it goes all the way down to Somalia Basin. And then on the right side here, it lists, you know, what is covered for combat. It'll say land, airspace, land and airspace, sea and airspace, like Arabian Sea, north of 10 degrees north latitude, west of 68 degrees east longitude. If you're a military person serving in there, in the Arabian Sea, obviously you have to be in the Navy because you're just not going to be treading water as a soldier, a Marine, something like that, you would get an extra $250 a month combat pay. So I just started looking through this thing, and I'm going down the line. I see Afghanistan, Algeria, Azerbaijan. Wow, I didn't know we had troops there. Bahrain. Wow, we have land and airspace there. Djibouti, we have soldiers on the land and land there. East Timor, you know, that's going on too. East Timor, the Tigers, a little communist group there. Egypt, Eritrea, E-R-I-T-R-E-A. Now, granted, I didn't look all these up, but Ethiopia, okay, we got troops. And then it says Greece, land within a 20K radius from the center of Athens. Greece. In Greece, land within a 20K radius from the center of Athens. Why are we giving combat pay to guys in Greece? Kind of weird, you know. Haiti, okay, I understand we probably have troops there. Indonesia. And then next, after Indonesia, Iran. Land, it says. Land troops in Iran are getting combat pay in the current budget. Why do we have troops on the land in Iran? Why do they budget for it? Now, when they built this budget, I did some more research. It was as long ago as 2009 that they began putting together the 2011 Department of Defense budget. So they anticipated that by 2011, now that could, you know, and I'm going to be fair here. Maybe they anticipated a war in Iran, so they line item budgeted it. Just like when I worked for different government agencies, they would put $50,000 for outside consulting in my budget, and I'd go, I don't go anywhere for outside consulting. Oh, well, we just padded it in there. You know how they do that. But why are they listing Iran that we have troops on the ground in there that we have to pay combat pay to? Of course, I sent off a couple of emails, and I'm not going to get an answer back. And if I do, it'll probably be some bureaucratic doublespeak. But it frightens me to think that they're this stupid. Not that we have troops on the ground. In fact, I would be surprised if we didn't have troops on the ground in Iran, you know, watching stuff. And maybe, I'd like to think that maybe they were training Kurds or something, but I don't know. Israel. Any troops that we have in Israel are getting combat pay. Ivory Coast, Jordan, Kenya, Kosovo, land and airspace, Kuwait, of course, Kyrgyzstan. Now, Kyrgyzstan is a former Soviet republic, if I'm not mistaken. Lebanon, Liberia, I didn't even know we had anybody on the ground in Liberia. Malaysia, Montenegro, Oman, Pakistan, now here, the Philippines. We have troops on the ground in the Philippines, and they get combat pay, an extra $250 a month for being in the Philippines. Qatar, now here's another one, Rwanda. We have troops in Rwanda? Saudi Arabia, Serbia, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, Tajikistan. What are we doing with troops in Tajikistan? Turkey. Why do we have troops in Turkey? Now, I know what people are saying. Well, it's the embassy. It's the embassy. Okay. If that's the case, we don't have an operating embassy in Iran. So let's say Turkey could be our embassy, and it could be for the Marine station there, right? United Arab Emirates, Uzbekistan, Yemen, Arabian Sea, like I said before, Persian Gulf, sea and airspace, Somalia Basin, Gulf of Oman, Gulf of Aden. We do not have an embassy in Iran, but yet we're paying for troops to be on the ground there. Now, whether there are troops on the ground or not doesn't matter. We're paying for it. Another example of the, you know, $5,000 hammer theory in the budget. And what are the odds of anybody just looking through that stuff? I mean, it's just useless information that they throw up. And it's out there. I guess they hope that it's so buried that nobody, you know, some idiot doesn't go looking for it of any value, and just some guy like me finds it, you know, with a limited audience, and it's not going to have any real effect. I mean, even if you tell people about it, they're going to go, oh, yeah, well, so what? But if I can find it, I wonder why other journalist types, I'm not a journalist, I'm definitely opinionated, but why journalistic types haven't found it. It's offensive to me. I don't know if you guys think so, too. 559-346-8362. 559-346-8362. Just that one there. I thought I'd get a little more mileage out of that one, but it's interesting. Oh, here's another one. Three Florida men charged with supporting terrorism. Real briefly, I'll touch this. A father who's an imam, his daughter, his son, some friends of theirs are being rounded up. Some of them are in Pakistan, some of them are in Florida, for donating and transporting about $50,000 to Al-Qaeda and Taliban members in Pakistan. Because the feds and everybody say that it's illegal to donate to known terrorist organizations. So they're going after these. A Miami imam and two of his sons were arrested Saturday on federal charges. They provided some $50,000 to the Pakistani Taliban, designated by the State Department as a terrorist organization, officials said. Now, Hafiz Muhammad Sher Ali Khan, 76, was arrested after morning services at the Miami mosque that he works at, also known as the Flagler Mosque, where he's an imam. One of his sons, Izhar Khan, 24, an imam at the Jamal al-Muhimim Mosque in nearby Margate, Florida, was arrested after morning services there. Another son, Ifran Khan, 37, was detained at his hotel room in Los Angeles around the same time. The men are U.S. citizens. Their mosques are not suspected of wrongdoing, officials said. No, just donating money. But going through this, they tried to buy guns, they raised money, they went over there, they delivered. In fact, his daughter and someone else are in Pakistan now. They hope to, you know, create 50,000 dead soldiers, you know, the whole thing. The story goes through it. It's not really important. But the fact of it is that they're setting the precedent that just simply handling money and donating it to the enemy is, in fact, you know, something that can get you arrested. But what I want to know is, by this logic, if sending money to known terrorist groups is justification for arrest, why not arrest all of Congress? Does not Congress send money to all kinds of terrorist organizations? Just Yasser Arafat. How much money did Congress send to Yasser Arafat? How much money does Congress send to the Israelis? The State Department. How, you know, Hillary Clinton and all of her predecessors assisted all kinds of known listed terrorist organizations with your money. Let's get into the private sector. Halliburton, XE, formerly Blackwater. They're over-arming. It's a known fact that they were taking and reselling guns to terrorists. The Pentagon, all those guys in there have been sending money to foreign terrorist groups that other nations consider terrorists, and what even we consider terrorists. We've played both sides of the field for so long. Why hasn't anyone in Congress been arrested? Also, I'd say anyone that's given money to CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, or the Holy Land Foundation, Hamas. Those are known terrorist organizations, but yet thousands and thousands of Jews in America are upset about that, so why shouldn't we arrest Arabs that donate to CARE or the Holy Land Foundation? It's a slippery slope, but I wish somebody would exploit it. We're constantly funding those that would do us harm. But I don't know. What about companies that do business in Mexico now, when you've got Mexican drug cartels that are beheading whole villages now? Was something like 27 people beheaded on the Guatemalan border? And yet American businesses, it's a known fact that they're paying drug cartels to leave them alone. That's paying money. That's aiding and abetting. I don't know. I get furious when I hear these things, and that they just kind of go under the radar and nobody seems to care. And it's going on all around the world. A British woman was beheaded in a random attack at a supermarket in the Spanish resort island of Tenerife in the Canary. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Everything I get, I read now. Tenerife in the Canary Islands was identified Saturday as a grandmother of five. Now, the guy who cut off her head was making comments like, "I am the Avenger of God." And he walked into a supermarket and cut her head off. Now, there's several things wrong with this story I can't stand. One, it should be on front page news. I had to find it in Spanish news. Two, where were the men in this community? Why was this guy running around with a knife screaming and nobody's... I mean, you know how long it takes to cut off a human head? It takes a while. Nobody jumped on this guy. Nobody, you know, it's just... We've become a world, not just a nation, but a world of cowards. And the beheadings are going on all around the world now. The Muslim influence is there. And it doesn't matter if they're Muslims or not. It's just the way it goes. But yet nobody's talking about it. Another thing, Anthea was here. She wanted to watch a movie. So we got, I don't even know which one it was. It was one of the Pirates of the Caribbean. Which one was it?
Land's End.
Land's End. I don't know if that's 1 or 27. I don't follow the series. I've probably seen them all in chunks and bites just because Anthea likes to see them, and and when we go to Grandma's house, they're in the background. But Anthea, who's asked me this multiple times, asked about our heritage. You know, we're Scottish and Dutch, and our Dutch heritage is not all that good, depending on your point of view. We, pirates, thieves, and prostitutes. And politicians, probably, since we've done every other heinous thing in the history. So she asked me, what history do we have, any pirates in our background? I said, I've been told things, but I don't know for sure. So we spent some time on the computer, and I looked up a list of all the famous and unique pirates. A ton of them were Dutch. A ton of pirates were Dutch. But it was funny, as I was reading through the different cases of what they were charged with, what they did, how they became pirates, what they did with the booty that they collected, where they operated, and they go back as far as about 1200 A.D., You know, of course, Muslim and Indian pirates were the first. There's the music. We come back and talk a little bit more about pirates and how nothing has changed. This is Stronghold Radio. Keep tuned in, and we'll be right back.
Well, life in the Middle East is really kind of fun. We never get the job, and we get to shoot a gun. I don't like Jews, but I have 20 sons. Thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Well, I got me 5 wives, got me a hookah. When some come up, a strap on my bazooka. One wife so ugly, I'm glad she wore a hookah. Thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Well, I wouldn't trade my life for a camera or a gun. And when I get a chance, I like to cut somebody's throat. And when I point my gun for me, you will vote. Thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. I'd kill infidels all day if I could. But Allah and my wives wouldn't take it very good. So I bomb when I could, pray when I should. Thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Well, I got me 5 wives, got me a hookah. When sun comes up, I strap on my bazooka. One wife so ugly, I'm glad she wear a burqa. Thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Sitting right by his side, he said, shoot women first and do it with pride. And thank Allah, you're a jihad boy. My daddy taught me young how to make me a bomb. I really think Americans are mean to Saddam. I make excuse that they just hate Islam. And thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Well, I got me 5 wives, got me a hookah. When sun comes up, I strap on my bazooka. One wife so ugly, I'm glad you wear a burqa.
Does come when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee.
So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
The government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to
touch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
We're back. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. I am Dutch Jones. It is the 16th of May, 2011. It is a Monday. If you're listening live, we've got about another half hour to go here. We're only doing an hour today. We've got work to do. And we're talking before the break about piracy in the old days. And if you're just joining us, you're going to have to catch up. Actually, I don't know if anybody can just catch up on this. So where do I go here? Where do I go here? Where am I? And I was talking about my daughter wanting to know about the history of pirates. And back then, a lot of pirates started out as legitimate business owners. I'm not talking about the criminal ones, but they had letters of marque. They would act on their nation's behalf. Usually a king or queen would give them a letter to go out and attack the commerce ships and military ships of an enemy nation. An example of that would be Sir Francis Drake for the Queen of England, and the book about him was The Queen's Corsair. Corsair is another word. And he was allowed to go out and do all this stuff, and he was a hero. It was actually, during the Spanish Armada invasion, he was like the second highest ranking naval commander, so he was not just a pirate. Even some of the other pirates started out legitimately working for different companies like the West Indies. Oh, I see, it just left my head. But anyway, they worked legitimately and then were either betrayed. The wars ended and were betrayed. Or they found out it was better for them to keep what they were doing and not really give it back to the nation that they were being hosted by. Because once they got out to the extent, it'd be like us going to the moon today. Where's the sheriff? They were the law. And a lot of these pirates did what they did. Some of them murdered the entire crew of the ship they overtook, so it was just listed as lost at sea. And they were up and down the American coast in what was known as the Golden Age of piracy. And they just did the bidding of nations, territories, governors, whatever. Really nothing has changed when you think about it, although maybe the pirates have taken over. When you've got huge corporations that used to do the bidding of our nation, now maybe it's our nation doing the bidding of the corporations. But more simplistically, you've got places like Blackwater that I mentioned earlier in the first half hour. You've got Halliburton, all these that are given outrageous rights to go into these war zones, which is what the seas were in the Golden Age of piracy, and to pretty much do what they want and take what? Resources. Pirates back then, they got the processed gold and the spices, but it was really stealing the resources of another nation, wasn't it? Or private citizens, which probably happened more so than not. But today, that's exactly what we're doing, and our armies have even become like that. The letter of marque basically is a lost political philosophy, and of course Ron Paul talks about it all the time, where you know you can put a price on an enemy person's head, kind of like what they did to Osama bin Laden. I had to say that slow. But today we're seeing the same things. Nothing has changed. The world has just gotten a lot smaller, and in fact the resources have gotten more scarce. But what's the difference between sending a bunch of British privateers, which is another word for pirates, around the backside of South America to pillage, rape, and murder Spanish settlements to get the gold from us going into the Middle East and trying to take the oil, which is weird because we don't actually take the oil, but control the oil. We don't take it and use it. We just control it so it can't come here. I don't see anything changing between the diplomacy of those days and these days. What's the CIA doing if they're not an independent rogue group just going around with their operators, which are really just pirates, and influencing the politics and commerce of other nations? Africa and South America are still the nations where most of this is going on. And we mock these Somali pirates. I mean, that's the exception. You know, a group of militia guys just going, hey, wait a minute, we need to get something, let's go out there and get it. Most of the modern-day pirates are in great big buildings in New York, England, Amsterdam, all over the world, these great capitals. They're captains of industry instead of captains of ships. But piracy is still the same. Nothing has changed. And, you know, granted, watching a movie that historically botches it, like Pirates of the Caribbean, I mean, Disney very seldom deals historically well with anything. But I looked these things up, and it's like I could have just changed the names to, you know, Dick Cheney and all that type of stuff, and nothing's different. George Bush. Do you know that George Bush bought like 60,000 acres in South America? In, was it Peru? I think it was Peru. I may be wrong. But all these world leaders are buying huge tracts of lands in South America. They're taking their booty out of the system and making these huge city-states for themselves. And we just keep letting them do the same stuff over and over again. Maybe the solution is we need to be our own pirates. And maybe that's what it'll come to. I don't think we're at that point yet where we're going to get away with it. But maybe we'll have to take our strongholds, fortify them, and be ready to resist the unlawful actions of nations. Right? Is that radical? It doesn't seem any different. Now, of course, Steve talks about pirates, you know, in the sense of the law of the sea, that you have to take them and kill them. But I'm not saying be a pirate. I'm saying be a privateer, be a corsair, you know, have letters of marque, do it legally. I mean, what would they do if sovereign citizens started taking oil tankers and taking them to some weird third world nation that had a refinery and it was fortified? Now, no way anybody's set up to do that now. And like most of these pirates in history, they started small. Some of them started with nothing more than a sloop with a little tiny boat with a gun on it. One pirate, it was an Irish couple, he and his wife, she would scream bloody murder like she needed help, and then people would come into this little cove, and then the husband would come out and cut their throats. Yeah, I see Freedom saying, CIA World Fact Site, collection of all the world's resources. Yeah, why do they got a site like that? The only thing changes is the color of the clothing and the design on the flags and the excuses for why we do it, you know, get a little more better and modern. But it's still corporations and nations working hand in hand to get the small amount of the few, everything that they can get on the backs of the many. Now, I know I'm sounding like a communist when I say that, but that's not where I'm going. You know, Al Gore's got land down there. All these people are doing this expatriation thing to South America, and they're trying to stockpile food and supplies. And we've been focusing on the ones that are getting out of the cities. What about the ones that are getting out of the nations? We're building tons of naval vessels again, which actually I don't think is a bad idea if it's used for lawful action. I see Freedom says IRS, paper pirates. What are the IRS if not pirates? They come in at the point of a gun and extort money from you. What are the highway patrol in every one of your states or whatever your state police are if you're listening in a foreign nation that seize your vehicle, search it, take what they want, and charge you for it? Now, key point, and I'm leading into this, Indiana Supreme Court on Thursday, I think it was, Indiana Supreme Court in a 3-2 decision, which I hopefully will go to the Supreme Court, but who knows, says that police no longer need a search warrant, they don't need to knock, that a citizen of the United States does not have the right to resist even unlawful police action. Resisting unlawful police action will lead to violence. It is better that they just submit to even unlawful authority so they can get bail later and prove that they were wronged in a court of law rather than risk life and limb. That it is for the betterment of society that we submit to even unlawful police powers. That is the Supreme Court of Indiana decided that. Does that not sound like piracy? Does that not sound like what led to the War of 1812 when British troops, British naval, and Marines were boarding American ships and taking what they wanted, even people? I'm telling you, folks, we've crossed a threshold here that was kind of vague and gray in the last 5 years. I don't know exactly when it clicked. I don't know exactly when it happened, but we're seeing in retrospect in the rear view mirror the results of it. When state Supreme Courts can make decisions like that, when states like California get away with murder, their police, I'm speaking, or their representatives, and a citizen doing the same exact thing gets life in prison for doing the exact same thing that a cop does, there is tyranny. And case an example. Last week, they were chasing some stolen car. They pulled it over. The guy threw the car in reverse and rammed the police car, then floored it to get away. One of the police officers jumped out and emptied his weapon into the vehicle, killing the driver. Under California law, that is considered the use of deadly force by the guy that stole the car, so the cop was justified in to shoot at a fleeing vehicle. Case today that was just settled. A guy who had a legal pot farm, yes, they have those in California, was robbed, and he saw the fleeing people fleeing with his product in his truck. One of them pointed a gun at him from the car. Testimony has shown that. He leveled a shotgun, fired one round, and killed a passenger in the car. He just got 135 years in prison today for murder. How is it any different? When the police, the corporations, the soldiers, the government, the employees of the state have more rights than the citizens, that is tyranny. Police in Los Angeles, similar situation. They were waiting for some guy who was a drug suspect. They wait for him to come home. As he's pulling in, he sees unmarked police cars surrounding him. In the neighborhood he was in, he was scared. He thought this could have been a carjacking. He tried to get away. They jumped up. They fired into the car, hitting his 9-year-old daughter in the neck and paralyzing her. Totally justified, though. Totally justified. Last week, a soldier was killed in South Carolina. His wife hears a bump outside. Look outside.
It was Arizona.
Arizona. Pima County, Arizona. Soldier comes home. His wife says there's a man outside with a gun. He grabs his AR-15. He goes running for the door. He looks out the window. SWAT team sees him and lights him up, kills him. Because they said they got a call for drugs at that house. Nobody seems to know where the call came from, but it's Pima County, so who knows.
They're so corrupt.
They're already a corrupt county. I'm so mad here, it's hard for me to talk, guys. Mm. They're murdering our people. On whims and ideas and getting away with it. They can kick in your door now, drag you screaming into the street. No, you don't even have the right to scream. And it's their right. They no longer need a warrant. They no longer need a warrant. And they said in this decision that modern jurisprudence, what in the world does modern jurisprudence mean? The right to have your things protected and the right to needing a warrant before they can take your things goes back to the Magna Carta. Was it 1611, something like that? The Magna Carta, folks, has just been violated in the state of Indiana. And remember, when something becomes law in one state, the way this nation now works based on case law and precedent rather than actual law, every state in the nation is going to go, hey, you know what? Indiana Supreme Court found that we don't need warrants. We don't even need to knock. We don't even need to identify ourselves. And even if it's an unjust, unlawful seizure, you're still supposed to submit because we're the state and you're not. You people think I'm nuts? Do you think I think I'm pressing it too hard? Or do you think like me and you're looking back over your shoulder going, whoa, what happened? What happened? And those of us that do demand this are going to become little islands of freedom that they're going to surround and snuff out because the rest of America doesn't want to join us. That's okay. That's why we got signs up around here that says no law enforcement sanctuary is granted here. Need permission to come on if you're a representative of the state, county, or local government. And people think we're nuts. And it's funny, people who thought we were nuts 10 years ago are now calling me going, Oh, hey, guys, what are you guys doing up there? I noticed that maybe some of the stuff you said is actually coming to fruition, and we want to get involved. I don't know. I'm angry about this. I'm really angry about this. That a state Supreme Court can say you no longer have a right to a Fourth Amendment concept. They can come and take you, your belongings, anything you want, anything they want from you, and you have to submit. And they're saying, oh, you have a right to a bond, to bail? An outrageous bail that again takes your property? Because that's what it's about. It's about seizing and relocating your property into the coffers, liquidating it, converting it.
Yeah, they just want to take everything from you.
Yeah.
F-Scout said, Tennessee said today that they could confiscate your cash from your vehicle.
Yeah. Tennessee, that's what Stacey, I don't know if you heard that ex-cop saying that Tennessee said they can take your money from your vehicle now and take it. Because most money is ill-gotten gains, because anybody that has money now must be a criminal because nobody's working.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they're thinking. It's just like with all the drug laws, all the gun laws, it's just to make criminals of us all. So any gain that you have, any material goods must be ill-gotten and therefore should be seized by the state. And good luck getting it back. Good luck getting it back. They keep doing that when they stop people on, you know, the interstates. You got any money in the car? It's none of your business. When's it going to end, folks? When are regular folks, not just us paranoid tinfoil hat fellas and ladies, going to go, wait a minute, it's happening to me now. Oh, I still remember when I first moved to the state, I brought $30,000 in a suitcase to this state, and I tried to put it in the bank, and they called the FBI. And
I thought you were a drug
dealer. I was just like, well, I had to prove to them that I had transferred it from color. Well, why didn't you wire it? I go, I don't trust that to wiring. I wanted to carry it. Well, don't you think it's kind of risky that you're carrying around $30,000? I said, no, I'm usually armed with two pistols. And they're like, oh, no, 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 no. Anyone out there that thinks I'm lying about that, go pound sand. That's how I deal with all law enforcement. If they don't treat me with respect or they see something stupid, I'd put them in their place. I've been arrested. And I've spent time in jail. I've never gone to prison. I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to go to prison. But anybody that thinks that I back down from unlawful authority and wants to go around telling people that, you're a liar. You're a liar. I prefer not to have contact with them, not to even be seen. When we go down, Stacy drives the speed limit, hopefully, all the time. I don't even want to give him a chance to go, well, who's that guy in the car? Doesn't matter if you do anything wrong these days. They'll make stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
Now the cops can just come, and they go, oh, look, there's a door. Let's go check it. And anything they find in there, they go, oh, look, you know, maybe now that we have the right to come in no matter what, we found something that is illegal.
What money?
And it should be an inordinate amount of money. It could be materials that they don't want you to have. It could be reloading supplies in the garage, also next to plumbing materials. That's what they're doing now. You have plumbing materials? A deputy I worked with was drinking, beat his wife, tried to run over two officers, another jurisdiction, three felony charges. Well, that's what happens when you go outside your own playground. You know, and you don't have the buddy system and the good old boy system. You know, you'll have to actually obey the law because, you know, you haven't you're not vested in that corruption there. I don't know. It's easy to get depressed about this, and I hope that's not what I'm doing. I hope I'm not bringing you down. I'm trying to just maybe just show you these things. And we've got to stick together. And the reason I'm showing you the pirate thing is nothing's really changed, so the solutions are the same too. We just have to tweak them a little for the modern age. Sticking together, hanging together if need be. Lexington and Concord were the answer, folks. Lexington and Concord were the answer. 150 to 2,000, you know, farmers spread out in the countryside, not even working together, going up against 1,500 to 2,000 trained, elite, seasoned, tested empire troops. We are the resistance. We're all that stands between us and them just rolling over every free man, woman, and child in the world. Not just America, the entire world. We're all that is left. This residue, this remnant, this group of people that understand that rights come from God and that we have a duty to support those rights of others and to defend them as needed. People want to call me crazy. People want to say, oh, you're putting it out there too much. You're making a target of yourself. Somebody's got to do it, and I don't see a whole lot of people doing it except for maybe a few. I don't know. I wish God would give me some kind of vision into the future to give me an artificial fleshy hope. I have faith, but hope's one thing that I haven't been operating on lately. I'm being honest with you. I'm in it just like you guys are. The attacks are huge on me personally. I don't even tell you half the stuff that goes on in my life. The woes, the struggles, I'm right there with every single one of you. Nothing's different with me than it is from you. I just try every day to figure out what I can do to keep them from putting a noose around our necks, our collective necks. And if that puts me at risk, well, so be it. I know Murphy's Law, I probably won't last long if a revolution does start, but maybe the seeds that I've helped plant will be watered by better men and women than I, and the sunlight of truth coming down from God will cause those things to grow in the hearts of people I will never meet, may never even know my name. It may be multi-layer. It may be somebody Lou influences, somebody one of you folks influence, and they don't even know who I am or who I was or who I'm not. That's what we got to keep doing. There's absolutely nothing different today than the 16 to 1700s when the British Empire, corporations, little tyrants, there's tyrants of every degree, tyrants of every degree, from school boards to the Pentagon, from Rome down to your little parish church, there are tyrants everywhere. Whether they know they're working for evil or not, they are working for evil. Because anytime any man steps on the rights of another man to better himself or to ingratiate himself with more luxury, he's evil. I would never do anything purposefully to take away from my neighbor. I just want to be left alone. To fulfill my agreement with God, Jesus Christ, and not be hindered by anyone telling me what to think, what to wear, when and where I can live, how my poop is supposed to be processed. Do you believe that? We have more laws on the books about how our poop is supposed to be processed than are any laws ever written probably 500 years ago on the rights of man. I heard something funny I don't know if I shared this with you, unintended consequences. The sewer systems of San Francisco are falling apart. They're backing up. They're not operating properly. They're in for a huge infrastructure disaster. And it's funny. It's not because they're old. It's not because they were designed wrong. In fact, they were designed very well. But somewhere along the way, they decided, hey, we have to use low-flow toilets. The low-flow toilets are destroying the sewage system of San Francisco, the infrastructure. It's clogged, backed up, rotting. Because there isn't enough water moving through. It's designed for 4 to 5 times the amount of water. But unintended consequences. Or is it? Is it? They can't even handle sewage, and they want us to put our entire lives in their hands? I, for one, say no, and I'll flee and go live on a mountainside if that's what it takes before I allow them to have authority over me when they're not just in that authority. If we had just leaders, there wouldn't be a need for me, and I'd be playing checkers right now, hanging out with the family. I mean, as much as I enjoy doing this show, there's 1,000 other things I could be doing to enrich the lives of my family. Worshiping God, doing all kinds of different things. I do this because it's a duty. Now, I know you guys get it. I know there's probably people listening to the sound of my feeble little voice that have been doing this a lot longer than I have a better understanding, a deeper grasp, and even a better plan than I do. But I've been called to scream about it in the city gates, and I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing it until they shut me up. Or until people start answering it and someone else is doing it and somebody better does it and I don't have to do it. X-Cop says, cheer up now. You have mercury-encrusted light bulbs. Yeah. Fluoride in your water. So glad I live off a well. I was thinking about it. You know that Hitler put tons of fluoride in the death camps? Whether you think there were 6 million there or not, there were death camps. They put fluoride in the water to keep the people from resisting, just like our governments put drugs and everything to keep us from resisting. Football has been very, very good to me, say deputy. Ah, oh, folks. I don't know. I had a long weekend to think about this stuff, and I had crafted 1,000 better things to say, but I lost them in my head. But I hope my point's getting across. There's nothing new under the sun. Tyranny is tyranny. Resistance to that tyranny is righteousness. And sacrifice is sacrifice, folks. If you think someone's just going to come along and drag you out of your basement and put you on the bandwagon and say, okay, join the fight, here's your weapons, here's your food, it's not going to happen. You got to do it yourself. You, and I'm going to steal from, you know, what was it Gandhi said? Be the change you want to be. Well, I'm going to steal from that. Be the liberty you want to be. Live the liberty you want to live. Be an example to someone else. Stop sitting around and waiting for somebody else to come rescue you, Gold. Or was it, who's in the tower? Not Rumpelstiltskin. What was her name? I forgot. Huh? Rumsfeld. No. Rumsfeld. No, don't. What was the lady in the tower with the hair? Let down.
Rapunzel.
Rapunzel. Stop acting like a Rapunzel patriot and waiting for everybody else to come solve your problem. You know, thank you. I took the long route to get to that point. At least that made me smile. Stop sitting around and waiting for a solution and become part of the solution. People always tell me, man, I wish I was there with you. Well, you've got neighbors. You've got family. I can tell you right now, and I don't care if you're on the farthest northern part of Alaska or the tip of Florida right now. That'd probably be the two extremes. Or Hawaii. There are at least 3 or 4 other people within 50 miles of you that feel the same way we do. I don't care if it takes a shovel, a pickaxe, and a flashlight to find them. You've got to find them. And how are you going to find them? Put yourself out there. Be wise, but put yourself out there. God's given us time right now to get this done. And we're not going to get it done if we don't answer it, but the time will run out. Time is finite on this earth. Time is eternal with God, but our time is finite. Cowards and sheep make excuses. Men of courage and action make preparations. So, just find your moral compass, set a bearing, and make way. Go about doing the things that free men do, and eventually we will all be free again. That's all we got to do. It's like anything else, put one step in front of the other. And do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Find some way to be a free man today and exercise that right. God bless you and all you do for the holy cause of liberty. I am Dutch Jones. This is Stronghold Radio. For those folks that are listening on Liberty Radio, it's pre-recorded, but I think it's still good. I'm only doing an hour. Tomorrow, Steve Klein will be here. He's going to talk about how he got on videotape. The head of the SWAT anti-terrorist group in Los Angeles, I can't know if it's county or city, admitting that he willingly works with the Islamic Brotherhood. So tune in tomorrow for that in the second hour. We'll be back tomorrow. God bless you all.